Seawind loses a 300C development aircraft and its test pilot. The FAA will send inspection teams to look at confusing airports. And after a 30-year wait, LAX gets 10 new gates. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, August 17, 2007. Aero News has confirmed a Seawind 300C amphibian, one of the test aircraft participating in the company's certification program, went down Wednesday afternoon in a heavily wooded area near the town of Stead, Manitoba. The one pilot on board the aircraft is reported lost. Richard Silva, founder and president of Seawind LLC, confirmed Wednesday's accident. Quote, "We're awaiting more information. It's a tragic event," unquote. Witness Darlene Steffen told the Thunder Bay Chronicle Journal she had just finished loading her truck at a nearby gravel pit when she heard an aircraft overhead, its engine sputtering. Quote, "Then it just quit, and then it kind of glided a little bit, then it just turned straight down the nose, and then started spiraling," unquote. Steffen said she then lost sight of the plane behind trees and about 2 seconds later heard the impact. Last month at AirVenture 2007, Silva told ANN the 300C only needed to complete spin testing to receive its oft-delayed VFR type certificate from Transport Canada and the FAA. What effect Wednesday's accident will have on those plans remains unknown. ANN will have more information as it becomes available. The official line is that the pilot in command is responsible for making sure his plane is on the right runway and responsible for making the decision when conditions preclude a safe takeoff. But the FAA is acknowledging that airport conditions and markings are a safety issue and is assembling special teams of inspectors to study the issues at more than 20 U.S. airports. The Associated Press reports that Marion Blakey of the Federal Aviation Administration held a closed-door meeting Wednesday with 40 airline representatives, aircraft manufacturers, air traffic controllers, avionics executives, and FAA inspectors to tackle what Deputy Administrator Bobby Sturgill called some incidents of late that concern us. The list of airports is still being assembled, but Sturgill said that Bluegrass Airport in Lexington, Kentucky, site of last year's Comair accident, in which Flight 5191 took off from the wrong runway and crashed, would not be on that list because the airport has already voluntarily upgraded its runway markings. FAA Associate Safety Administrator Nick Sabatini would not say if there had been any other takeoffs from the wrong runway recently, nor would Sturgill, but Sabatini did tell the AP that the FAA had been studying 117 reports of such activity received over the last 10 years, submitted by flight crews that experienced some confusion during taxiing. Sturgill added, quote, "We've seen through analysis of the data there are issues around the geometry of airports that cause confusion," unquote. For the first time in nearly 30 years, Los Angeles International Airport will be gaining some new gates, 10 of them. The LA City Council voted unanimously for the new gates on Wednesday in a reported effort to not only accommodate new jets coming on the market, such as Boeing's 787 Dreamliner and the Airbus A380, but also to remain competitive with other city airports, according to the LA Times. All 10 of the new gates will be able to handle wide-body jets. The price tag is estimated at $1.2 billion. Gina Marie Lindsay, executive director of Los Angeles World Airports, told the city council the new structure should be completed by 2012 and will be paid for by airline usage fees. The city of Los Angeles has struggled for years to form a solid, comprehensive master plan for its airport. The last proposal was blown apart by a lawsuit filed by nearby residents on the "more airport means more noise" premise. Somewhere, an IT department has egg on its face. It turns out the computer crash that stranded 17,000 international passengers on planes at LAX on Sunday was caused by one faulty network card in a single desktop computer. As ANN reported, the resulting delays forced some planes to sit on the tarmac for hours, so long, in fact, that crews were kept busy refueling fuel tanks for the aircraft's auxiliary power units so the planes could run their air conditioning units. Jennifer Connors, a chief in the Office of Field Operations for the Customs and Border Protection Agency, said it was completely an internal problem. Quote, "All indications are there was no hacking, no tampering, no terrorist link, nothing like that," unquote. She added that there is a project underway to upgrade the entire U.S. Customs Information Technology System at major international airports. The LAX leg of the work is scheduled for completion by October of 2008. L.A. City Council members Bill Rosendahl and Janice Hahn have demanded an immediate report on what has been done to permanently correct the computer malfunction and contingency plans in the event this happens again. Up next on ANN, NASA continues to mull a spacewalk to fix Endeavour's heat shield. AOPA says all those small jets clogging big airports belong to the airlines. And a Navy Hawkeye is down in the Atlantic with three aboard. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 17th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. There's still no firm decision on whether NASA will schedule a spacewalk by astronauts to make repairs to damaged heat shield tiles on the shuttle Endeavour. The STS-118 and Expedition 15 crews have, however, been told to prepare for that repair should managers determine it's necessary. The managers did decide to move the flight's fourth spacewalk from Friday to Saturday. If the repair isn't done, that spacewalk will be used for installation of two antennas and removal of one, installation of a stowage stand for the shuttle's orbiter boom sensor system, and other tasks. The major U.S. airlines have mounted a campaign to convince the public that business jets are responsible for increasing airline delays. But the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association reports that after doing the math, the small planes clogging the system appear to be the airlines' own growing fleets of smaller jets. As ANN reported earlier this week, airlines have grounded 385 larger aircraft since 2000 and replaced them with more than 1,000 regional jets. All it's needed to measure the resulting impact on the nation's air traffic control system is a calculator or a look at the tarmac at a busy airport. The FAA's Airport Capacity Benchmark report shows that New York JFK can handle one flight every 41 seconds during optimal visual conditions, using two runways simultaneously. And yet, to meet the airline schedules during the busiest times, air traffic controllers would have to get an airliner on or off the runway every 36 seconds. During instrument conditions, when visibility is less than 3 miles or the cloud ceiling under 1,000 feet, the FAA says the maximum is 17 flights every 15 minutes. The airlines have scheduled up to 25. General aviation aircraft accounted for only 2.3% of the traffic at the hub airports of JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark during the first 6 months of 2007, according to figures cited by AOPA. Patrick Forey, president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, agrees, quote, "Corporate aircraft are not the reason for system delays," unquote. AOPA President Phil Boyer added, quote, "As long as the airlines operate a hub-and-spoke system, putting fewer passengers on more aircraft, all trying to arrive and depart at the same time, system delays are inevitable. More runways would help, but it takes at least a decade to build a new runway in a major metropolitan area, if local politics will allow it," unquote. Three U.S. Navy sailors are missing following the Wednesday night crash of an E-2C Hawkeye command and control aircraft in the Atlantic Ocean. Navy officials told the Associated Press the twin turboprop was conducting exercises off the coast of Virginia and North Carolina. It took off from the aircraft carrier USS Harry S. Truman at about 11 p.m. Eastern Time and went down shortly thereafter. Search and rescue missions are underway, with units on the Truman, the carrier USS Eisenhower, and the Coast Guard searching for the missing crew. The Hawkeye belonged to Training Squadron VAW-120, based at Naval Air Station Norfolk in Southern Virginia. The aircraft usually carries a crew of five, but only three were on board the accident flight. The U.S. Air Force's top acquisition officer told teams from Boeing and Northrop Grumman this week the armed service wants a fixed price for the initial batch of 80 aerial tankers currently out for bids. Bloomberg reports that's a shift from the past, when the Air Force sought bids only on the first few production batches of each competitor and then delayed negotiations on later orders until a winner was selected. The change will force Boeing and Northrop Eads to put their best prices forward right from the start in the KCX competition, rather than opening low and raising prices later. Air Force Assistant Secretary for Acquisition Sue Payton said on Tuesday, the service determined the old system was responsible for, quote, a lot of increased costs, unquote. The fixed price stipulation would apply to nearly half the 179-plane order over 15 years. Boeing has offered a tanker variant of its 767 commercial airliner in the competition, while Northrop is fielding a variant of the Airbus A330. Analysts say the change is good news for Airbus, which is motivated to do what it takes to penetrate the North American market. Up to this point, Boeing was thought to be better positioned to get this contract. Still ahead, air travel's environmental impact may include more than just carbon. NASA considers the environmental impact of the Constellation program. And the FAA decides it's cheaper to keep her. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, August 17, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The evolving science of global warming is having difficulty measuring the environmental impact of aircraft. But some scientists are now saying that looking only at carbon emissions underestimates the effects of flying on the health of the planet. Reuters quotes Ivar Isaacson, a professor at Oslo University and an expert in how aviation affects the atmosphere, who says aviation's impact goes far beyond carbon dioxide. Other effects include the high-altitude release of nitrogen oxides and jet condensation trails, which may increase formation of high-altitude cirrus clouds, which trap the heat of the Earth. A 1999 UN report estimated that aviation's impact on the climate using only carbon dioxide was a quarter or half its real total impact. As a result, the companies now selling consumers offset credits vary widely in their pricing. The UN estimates that a projected 5% growth in airline travel per year will easily outstrip any decline in pollutants achieved through improved fuels and engines. Growing ecological concerns brought about the U.S. National Environmental Policy Act. It now requires all U.S. federal agencies to conduct environmental impact studies for any actions which could have significant effects on the quality of the environment, and NASA is no exception. The U.S. Space Agency has issued a draft environmental impact statement for its upcoming Constellation manned spaceflight program, intended to return humans to the moon by 2020. The spacecraft to be developed include the Orion Crew Exploration Vehicle, the Ares 1 Crew Launch Vehicle, the Ares 5 Cargo Launch Vehicle, the Lunar Lander, and other cargo systems. Orion, launched atop the Ares 1, would be capable of docking with the International Space Station or with cargo launched to low Earth orbit by the Ares 5 for transit to the Moon or future missions to Mars. Publicly identified issues resulting from scoping meetings concluded in November include the economic impact of the Constellation program and retirement of the shuttle fleet, risks to the public through launch and reentry of the Orion spacecraft, noise, and impacts to animal species. You can read the draft of the impact statement using a link from the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. NASA will accept public comments through September. The final environmental impact statement is expected by spring of 2008. On Thursday, the FAA rolled out the first of 18 older Beech 300 flight inspection aircraft, equipped with a new, lighter ProLine 21 avionics suite. Rockwell Collins designed the package and completed the first modification. Over the next 3 years, FAA technicians will install the remaining 17 systems, along with an aircraft life extension program. The FAA is also modernizing the airborne flight inspection technology to support the next-generation air transportation system. Fleet modernization includes additional aircraft modifications to extend the Beech 300's useful life while reducing aircraft weight. The total cost of the project is $32 million. That's a considerable savings over the estimated $90 million it would have cost to replace the aircraft with new Beech 350s. Aviation System Standards is responsible for designing, developing, and providing flight inspection services for the development of aeronautical charts. With the Beech 300 and other types of aircraft, its crews evaluate the adequacy of electronic navigational signals that are critical for the operation of a safe air traffic system. They provide services worldwide, including at the landing sites for the space shuttle. Their fleet also includes longer-range Canadair, Hawker, and Learjet aircraft. And finally, Eads and Airbus have endured a 2-year dark cloud of doubt, caused by delays in the development of the A380 Super Jumbo. They may finally start to put the lingering questions behind them on October 15th. That's the day Airbus says the first customer A380 will be delivered to Singapore Airlines. After a delivery ceremony in Toulouse, France, the first A380 to enter revenue service will take off for Singapore's Changi International Airport within a couple of days. The new double-decker aircraft will commence the world's first A380 commercial airline service between Singapore and Sydney on October 25th. The BBC reports that Singapore Airlines will auction off most of the seats on that first flight on eBay, with proceeds going to charity. That auction is due to start August 27th. Opening bid for economy class seats will start at $3.80. Business class at $38, and full boat luxury seats in the airline's suite class will start at $380. Singapore Airlines CEO Chu Chun Sang says everyone in the company is keenly anticipating the event. Quote, "The first flight promises to be one of the most exciting occasions in aviation history," unquote. Airbus points out that the A380 is cleaner, greener, quieter, and smarter than current airliners. Per passenger, the A380 has a fuel efficiency of 2.9 liters per 100 kilometers. That's about 80 miles per gallon. But it costs way more than your Prius to fill it up. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Kate Hanai, founder and president of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. We'll discuss Kate's progress in getting her reforms through Congress and the Continental stranding that happened on July 29th. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.